Chapter 9. I will kill all their gods. We didn't know it at the time, but 600 miles to the southwest of our expedition, in an Arkansas mountain range to the east of Long Prairie, there were events unfolding that would eventually intersect with our lives. Many months later, we would hear enough of those events that I was able to put together what must have happened as a renegade Washashi band of Osage Indians reacted to their latest encounter with the Caddos. Chief Wei Chutta, leader of the banished Washashi, heard the report from Chokokani, the leader of the war party that had just returned, and slammed his fist into the ground.
How can this be? 10 years ago, they were crushed. Now you say they are strong and well-armed with many rifles and much ammunition. They kill 3 of our braves in battle. You return with no horses, no slaves? What are we to trade with the French for more rifles? We are already running low on powder. Are the mighty Washashi warriors going to run and hide from the Caddos for lack of guns? No, we will not.
For a time, Chokokani was silent. Then he spoke.
Our braves fought well, my chief, but we must fight with arrows against their guns. They have 1 gun for every brave, but only 1 out of 3 of our braves have a gun. For 5 years, they have been growing stronger each time we fight them. Since Diawit, their chief, moved the Caddo to their lake, their positions are better defended. They are well supplied with arms, food, and all manner of things. They travel the 3-notch trail without fear. This is not all. 50 of Cherokees have settled at the mouth of the Little River and are said to be allied with the Caddo.
Wei Chutta was an imposing figure of a man. He was tall, well over 6 foot, as were most Washashi men. A black bird was tattooed across his back, and a black snake lay coiled on each breast. His head was shaved, except for a tuft of black hair that grew from his forehead to his neck. His eyebrows were plucked, and he was naked, except for a simple breechcloth. His face grew ever more ugly and filled with hate as he spat out words in a deep, angry voice.
Many years ago, our fathers drove these filthy women of the river away from our lands. Those who remained were left eating berries and fish. We should have destroyed every last one of them then. But the old men of the Osage were weak and allowed our enemy to live to fight another day.
He glared at the brave sitting cross-legged around the campfire. Wei Chutta knew they were brave warriors. They wore their war paint with pride and rode their ponies into battle intent on winning. But as their war party leader Chokokani said, their bows and arrows were no match for the Caddo rifles. They bowed their heads in shame. Wei Chutta looked over the campfire at them, then spoke.
I am not weak. You are not weak. We are not weak. I vow the Caddo is the greatest enemy of the proud Osage people and will be crushed once more. This time, never to rise again.
Wei Chutta slammed his fist down, this time into the fire. Sparks and ash and burning wood flew into the air, startling the braves to attention.
I will not allow the Caddo to return to our lands, no matter how many guns they possess, no matter how many tribes help these women to do their fighting. But to grow strong enough to conquer, we must know more about our enemy. What do they want? Where do they get money to buy guns and food? What are the Caddo trading for guns and food? How do they get the Cherokee to fight with them? What do the Cherokee get from the Caddo in return for their loyalty? These are things we must know.
The Osage and the Caddo Haracho had been at war for decades, their conflict flaring up ever more frequently since the white man's expansion began pushing the Osage people westward out of the fertile valleys and onto the Great Plains. Wei Chutta and his warriors were renegades, the meanest, most vengeful, most downright evil Indians in the territory. Denounced by the greater Osage tribes, his warriors were outsiders with nothing left to lose. Recruits would come to him who had been cast out from the Osage and a few related tribes. He had led this band of 100 Washashi, or Osage, warriors for 7 years. But recently, his ranks had shrunk precipitously, and this infuriated him. In addition to trading in animal pelts, his band thrived by stealing horses and kidnapping women to sell into slavery, doing business mostly with a small group of outlaw French traders who continued to prey on the region and its peoples long after the French Louisiana Territory had been transferred to the Spanish, then ultimately to the United States. For many years, theirs had been a profitable enterprise, especially because of their trading alliance with the Osage. But as the Caddo acquired more arms and their trade with whites grew, recent Osage raids on Caddo Jaracho lands had become less successful, drying up one of the Osage's most important sources of plunder.
"Yes, Wechara, we will find answers to all you wish to know. Though we returned with no horses or women, we did capture a lone Caddo warrior. Even now, he awaits his death outside the lodge of Iosta."
Each Osage village had two chiefs. Chokakani had wisely taken the prisoner to Iosta, the other chief, before reporting to Wechara, thus ensuring the man would remain alive long enough for them to extract useful information. He was certain Wechara would have become enraged at the mere sight of a Caddo and slit his throat.
"Good. Very good. He must tell us what I want to know about our enemy. You must make this happen. Tie him down on the Hill of Ants. Cover his body with hot coals. Let the ants feed on the burning sores and sting the soft parts of his body. When he begs you to kill him, he will tell all I want to know. Then cut off his member and feed it to your dogs. Take his eyes and his scalp and leave him to die. Then put him on his horse back to the Caddo village. These Caddos will learn what it means to be the enemy of the Washashi. When you have done all this, we will take what you have learned to Bourgmont to see what the Frenchman can tell us."
"Yes, Wechara," said Chokakani. "I will do everything you ask."
"I know you will. And bathe yourself. You have the stench of Caddo on your body."
It took several hours before the screams started, but they continued for 2 days. Wechara never bothered to watch the prisoner being tortured. He only waited for the answers he sought. Shortly after the screams finally came to an end, Chokakani entered Wechara's lodge.
"What have you learned?" said Wechara.
"His only answer to all my questions was to say, 'Saku.' Where had the guns come from? 'Saku.' Why had the Cherokee allied with the Caddo? 'Saku.' Where does the money for Caddo guns come from? 'Saku.'"
Chokakani swiped his hand through the air.
"I can do no more. He is dead now. He died with 'Saku' on his lips."
"Fool!"
cried Wechara.
"Do you not know? This 'Saku' is their god. You should have learned where they worship this 'Saku.'"
Chokakani fell to his knees before his leader.
"This is shit! Shit!"
shouted Wechara.
"Once again you have failed me, Chokakani, but for the last time. From this moment you will remain here in our village with the other women. I will now lead our braves myself into battle against our enemies. Go, go sit with the women. Cook our food and sew our buckskins with the women. That is all you are good for. Now leave my sight forever."
Completely dishonored, henceforth Chokakani would be shunned by everyone in the Washashi camp, men, women, and children alike. In 2 months, he would be dead from starvation. The Washashi believed only in survival of the fittest, and Chokakani had proved himself unfit. The next morning, Wechara and 10 of his strongest braves rode off toward a lone Frenchman's trading post on the Arkansas River. It was both business and home to a Frenchman known only as Bourgmont, who flouted his contraband trading business in the face of the Americans' claim on the territory. 2 days later, they arrived. Bourgmont stood on his front porch, his right arm raised in the peace gesture.
"Bonjour, Monsieur Wechara. How may I help you?"
he asked in Osage. Bourgmont was a fat, slovenly man about 45 years of age. He wore his unkempt hair and beard long over a filthy, greasy deerskin coat. Even though it was winter and cold, Bourgmont was red and flushed, covered in sweat. Several mongrels arose from the ground and began sniffing at the Indians. 2 Indian women emerged from the cabin to see who had arrived, both holding babies.
"Bourgmont, we have nothing to trade today. We come seeking your knowledge and counsel.
said Wei Chuta.
But of course, Wei Chuta,
Bourgmont replied in Osage.
I am always ready to help my friends, the Washashi. Come inside and warm yourself.
The Indians tied their ponies to the railing in front of Bourgmont's cabin. Wei Chuta followed Bourgmont inside, leaving his braves to fend for themselves outside in the cold. The Frenchman seated himself in a handsome chair large enough to accommodate his bulk.
Please, Wei Chuta, sit here. May I get you something to drink or eat?
No, we will not stay long. You are trusted by Washashi and know much of our history. We are a strong people with long memories and harsh punishment for our enemies.
This is true, Wei Chuta, and your savoir-faire as a trader is also well known. Our business has always been good.
Yes, the problem of the Washashi is not our business with Bourgmont. It is with our enemy, the Caddo Hadacho. For many generations, we have fought the Caddo.
The Caddo are now becoming a trouble to you?
He raised a finger, and one of the women rushed to his side with a bottle of liquor. Bourgmont raised the bottle toward Wei Chuta, who shook his head angrily. He would never allow firewater to touch his lips, as did his weaker brethren. Bourgmont pulled the cork out and drank straight from the bottle.
Yes, traitor. In their weakness, we were able to take their furs, horses, and women for our trade with you and your French brothers. It seemed only a matter of time before they would be gone from the earth forever.
Wei Chuta, I am well aware of your grand bataille with the Caddo. Stories of Washashi dominance over the Caddo will be told for many years.
Wei Chuta, uncomfortable sitting in a white man's chair, folded himself on the carpet in front of the fire.
Perhaps, but perhaps not, he replied. The stories once told of us are now old stories. We cannot tell them to our young. Today, our war parties are turned back by the Caddos, who have many guns and stores. They are growing stronger. They have many white man friends. They have killed our braves in battle and repel our raids on their villages. This is of great concern to the Washashi. What do you know of such things?
Mon Dieu, great Wei Chuta! I share your concerns. However, being but one man at my lonely outpost, I know nothing myself, but I too hear stories that the Caddo have for several years now purchased guns and other supplies from their patron.
And who is this patron? Said Wei Chuta.
It is rumored that he is the American chief in Washington City. It is now said the Caddo are well fortified with the white man's guns and food.
Ah! Said Wei Chuta, slamming his fist on the wooden floor. Why does the white chief in Washington City make trade with the Caddos? They have nothing the white man wants.
Besides land, of course, but I have heard more. Vous ne savez pas? You do not know? It is said their god gives them money.
Wei Chuta looked down and murmured.
One of their braves we captured told us of their Saku. Do you believe such things? I do not.
Of course not, but the Caddos do. And frankly, I have no better explanation.
Wei Chuta looked up and stared into Bourgmont's eyes.
Then I must kill their god.
Bourgmont shifted uneasily in his chair.
While you are so engaged, you might do the same for the gods of the Choctaws, Cherokees, and Kushara. There is talk that the Caddos are paying braves from all these tribes to band together against you and your mighty Washashi. If all came together, they would be a formidable enemy of your people.
Well then, said Wei Chuta, I must kill all their gods.
Bonne chance, chief. Good luck.
I do not need luck. I need knowledge. I must know where this money comes from. You must learn this. You must help the Washashi.
Bourgmont raised his hand toward the sky, but said nothing. Both men were quiet for a time. Then Wei Chuta spoke again.
The Caddo brave we captured 5 days ago. We tortured him to tell us the truth about the Caddo guns and money. All he would say was, Saku.
How does their god bestow money on the Caddo people?
We tortured him unto death to find out, but he would not tell us.
Bourgmont sat upright and set his whiskey bottle on the floor.
Trader, I need answers to these questions. Who is making the Caddo strong? How are they paying for their guns and ammunition?
Bourgmont raised his eyebrows inquisitively. Wechuta stood, staring down at the fat Frenchman. He spoke slowly.
I need to know these things. You will get me the answers.
We will see, Wechuta. We will see.
Bourgmont began struggling to his feet, but Wechuta was angered by the Frenchman's vague reply.
You know more than you say, traitor!
Roared Wechuta, shoving Bourgmont back into his chair. The trader's hand bumped the whiskey bottle, knocking it over. He quickly grabbed it and set it back to rights.
Well, he stammered, I would not want my friend and best trading partner to be run out of business. I hear the great chief in Washington City is sending a new assistant, Indian agent, to Natchitoches. I don't know when. I know the man in charge now. His name is Jameson, and he is not a man we can influence. But this new man, perhaps he is someone who, shall we say, might be persuaded to share our interests. Perhaps he can tell us where the money comes from.
You will do this for Wechuta?
Bourgmont's face took on a sly, greedy look.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Wechuta nodded and stepped to the door. He turned back to Bourgmont and spat out,
Soon we will talk again, traitor.